Thank you for joining me today's broadcast of The Love Way. We are speaking on sowing and reaping, and I'm excited to share the good news perspective on sowing and reaping and finances. I believe there's a higher form of prosperity than just sowing and reaping and the tithe principle. There's something that's greater than that, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ. So many times we think that the tithing principle came over into the New Testament. Sowing and reaping was a new form of giving that was given unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But nowhere in the Bible do we see that Jesus Christ gives that. I just believe that the principle of sowing and reaping has been given by Jesus Christ. He said, "Know this, look at the birds of the air, neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them, because they are of value to them, to Him." Now, you are of greater value to God than birds. You must know that. And God will provide for you on the basis of your worth to Him. I want us to quickly just have a glance again at Galatians chapter 6. And we're just going to read there from verse 5. It says, "Let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sow, that he will reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now what it says here is that we should communicate in all good things with them that teach the word. Now that word communicate means to be in partnership with. It does not just show to financial giving. It also implies that one can give financially to the preacher. But what it means is to open your heart to every good thing that he teaches you. To communicate, to share with him. Like for instance me sharing with you on finances now. Communicate with me. Be a partner in what I say. By being a partner in what I say, I mean, go and tell others the same thing and believe it for yourself. That's it. And you can also become a partner by saying, "I believe in this. I want to sponsor this ministry for sharing the gospel with others." This I don't say to tell you that you must sponsor this ministry. That's not what I say. I'm just explaining to you how partnership works. So partnership, a small part of partnership can be financial giving. Now what he says here, and the reason why I interpret that verse 6 in that way, is he says here, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sow, that he will reap." And verse 8 explains the whole thing in context. "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now if you go and look at Romans chapter 7, you see what Paul meant by that when he sowed to his flesh. We clearly also see the same thing in Galatians chapter 3. Sowing to the flesh is thinking that you're going to be justified by that which you do, by your works. You're never going to be justified by your works. From your works, you'll never reap life everlasting. I just want to say this. Works righteousness is the enemy of faith righteousness. And faith righteousness is the enemy of works righteousness. In Genesis, the Bible said, "I'll bring enmity between your seed and her seed." And what he meant by that was, there will be a war against each other. The Bible says, "The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit." Now what he says here is, if we, in the name of Jesus, or as the Gentile, as the Galatian church, try to be circumcised and incorporate law righteousness, and we don't communicate or become a partner of the good news preachers, we should not think we're going to make a mockery out of God. You are not going to make a mockery out of Him. You are still going to reap from sowing to the flesh death. Let's just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm just going to explain this to you. It says in verse 56, it says, "But the sting of death is sin." Now remember what it says, we're going to reap corruption. Now the Bible says there's corruption in this world through lust. If you go and read in 2 Peter 1, it says there's corruption in this world through lust because they don't take the promises of God. We're going to have a look at that scripture right now. It says here, O death, where is your victory? Your sting, verse 55. O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you labor, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what he says here in 1 Corinthians is he clearly says that death comes by being under the law. The strength, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, it's exactly what he says here. There will be corruption in your life when you sow or give your life or become a partner with the flesh mentality. The flesh mentality, according to Galatians 3, and you can get the previous broadcast as well, where we discussed this in depth. The flesh mentality is to be justified by your works. He says we began by faith and being in the Spirit. Now you want to be made perfect by the flesh or to be circumcised. The works of the law. He also says in Galatians 3 verse 13. From verse 10 he says, cursed is every man that's under the law. Now, corruption, death, the curse rests under the law. So the context of the scripture is not to say, if you give money to the preacher, then God's going to give money unto you. That's not what it says. It says here, if you give yourself and you do not share with the preacher in all good things, you will not reap the benefit of that which he teaches, the good things, and you're going to reap corruption. Remember what he said, and I want to explain it this way, if it was not clear to you in the previous session. If I give you a choice of two things, you can choose life or you can choose death. Then I will tell you, whatsoever you choose, don't think that the choice you make is not going to manifest. If you choose life, from life you're going to reap life everlasting. If you choose death, from death you're going to reap corruption. It's the same thing, the word whatsoever. So many times we think that word whatsoever means whatsoever. Like, if I give a house, I'm going to get houses. And I just want to say this, so many times, and I've said in the previous broadcast, we use stuff like giving houses or giving cars or giving money just as something to quiet our conscience. Because we feel we must do something in order for God to bless us. And once we've given, our hearts start to function. And what I mean by the heart start to function, I mean you start to believe out of your heart. The Bible says with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And I believe prosperity is a manifestation of righteousness. It's a manifestation. I don't say it's the manifestation. It's a manifestation of righteousness. Just like healing, just like peace and all those things. But we struggle when it comes to finances because we've been taught all our lives to work for money. Now we don't think that God can just give it to us by Jesus. We want to work for it and we give with a purpose to get. That's it. We give money with a purpose to get money. So many people don't give because they know God has given unto them. They give so they can reap. And that is something that many people do, and you might be one of them, just to soothe your mind so that your heart can stand up and say, yes, I believe I'm going to be blessed now. And out of that faith that you say, I'm going to be blessed now, you get blessed according to the measure that you've sown. So if you sow and you give, out of the measure that you've sown, out of the measure that you give, is what you're going to receive. Because that's the measure your heart opens up to prosperity. That's why I say there's a greater prosperity in the New Testament when you can say, there's no limits to what I can receive because it comes out of the finished work of Jesus and it's not in proportion to my giving. When he says, whatsoever you sow in the scripture, it means, whatsoever you sow, if you sow to the flesh or to the spirit, whatsoever. you decide to sow to, from that you're going to reap either life or corruption. And then it continues in verse 9 when it speaks about reaping eternal life and the coming of the Lord and all those type of things. Let's just read verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Now that does not mean we're going to get stuff. It speaks about life everlasting. It says, do not stop to do good. Do not stop to live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do not stop to have the gospel in you and through you, because in due time, there's going to come a time when we're going to reap this life everlasting. That's what it says. The context of the reaping here is life everlasting. So many times in the scripture, the Bible says, they that endure until the end will reap everlasting life. That's what the Word of God says, and I believe that's the context of the scripture. Verse 10 then says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So, I believe verse 6 does not speak about, and 7, just giving money. It can imply that as well. But the giving to the church and giving to the men of God and giving to the brethren is actually mentioned in verse 9 and 10. It says if we continue to be Christians, if we continue to believe on Jesus Christ for our salvation, then in due time we will reap everlasting life. Hallelujah. And also with the coming of the Lord, I believe a brand new resurrected body. Amen. Now let's quickly turn to Second Peter, and I'm just going to touch on that because it also speaks a little bit about receiving for free. The Bible says God delights in the prosperity of His servants, and we must know that prosperity came by Jesus Christ. Don't think prosperity comes by you. And don't think, and you can get my series on faith, don't think faith is something you do to activate God. No. Faith is something that happens to you when you hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, when you hear the Word of God, faith will be activated in your life, and true faith has got an outflow. So if I believe, like I said with Abraham, if I believe that my needs are met in Jesus Christ, I'll be set free from money, and I will give out of that, because I know there's much more where this comes from. I know that God will always meet my need, because my heart trusts in what Jesus has done. I want to ask you this. If your giving just soothes your mind, quiets down your mind, because that's what the word trust means. The word trust means to rely on somebody else or to rest your mind in somebody else. Now, so many times we first do the right thing and then we rest our minds and say, well, I can rest my mind in God that will give to me because I've given. Why can't you rest your mind in the fact that the Bible says He was rich, He became poor, so that we through His poverty might be made rich? And out of that, do good unto the household of faith. As verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Hallelujah. I just believe that is just food for thought. Hallelujah. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 2 and from verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust." Now, what I believe here is, verse 3 is so powerful. It says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness." Now, what I see there is, through what Jesus Christ has done, through His divine power. Now, the grace of God is the power of God. Through His divine power has been given unto us all things that pertains to life. To this life. What you need for life in your physical body and godliness. Now, I do believe that the life there does not just speak about godliness. It speaks about life in general. Life in this world. Because so many times we say, well, spiritually is going well with me, but in this life, physical life, I'm struggling. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling with this and that. Now, the Bible says here, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Not through your knowledge, not your knowledge about God, through having the knowledge of God. If you can know what God knows about your financial prosperity when He looks at Jesus, through that knowledge, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. Now remember what we said in the previous broadcast in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9, where it says that by the grace, you know the grace of God, and therefore you are wealthy financially. Now it says grace can be multiplied to you through knowing what God knows, through the knowledge of God. If God thinks of your financial prosperity, I just want to say this quite frank. He does not look at your giving whatsoever. He looks at Jesus. God is mindful of Jesus. God's reality about your life is not what you do, good or bad. Your most righteous work is like filthy rags before God. It is not righteousness at all. Your best gift, you give as an offering concerning righteousness and concerning getting God to give, if it comes out of do's and don'ts, out of a law mentality, means nothing to God. He doesn't look at that. When God sees His nature flowing through you and you giving out of His nature not to get, that is good unto Him, like Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, that this sacrifice has got a sweet smell in God. He loves that. He loves the sacrifice. So there is a sacrifice that God loves. There is something we do that God loves. But if it comes out of the works of the flesh, sowing and reaping, the way we've always heard it, the tithe thing, the way we've always heard it, it is not pleasing unto God. Now, when we do that, we believe. So many people, when we have given, we believe and therefore we receive. But that's not the way we are supposed to receive according to 2 Peter. It says that grace and peace will be multiplied by knowing what God knows. What does God know about your financial prosperity? God's knowledge about your financial prosperity is Jesus. By His grace. Jesus was rich. He became poor so that you through His poverty might be made rich. And we've got access into this grace through faith. Hallelujah. We can read that in Romans chapter 5 as well, from verse 1. But let's just check this out. According as His divine power has given unto us all things. Just say all things. All things that pertains to this life, whatever you need. Clothes, house, motor car, business, whatever. Whatever you need for this life and for godliness was provided by Jesus. You see, so many times we are deceived because we think only godliness has been provided by Jesus, but financial prosperity is provided by our works and our obedience to the tithe and the sowing and reaping commandment. Oh, that is not the truth. If we think it's supposed to be that way, we are deceived. It says, by Jesus Christ and by His power has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, if we sow to the flesh, from the flesh we're going to reap corruption. From the flesh we're going to reap death. Now He says we can escape that death, that corruption, by receiving through the promise. What has God promised? God has promised health to us. God has promised the breaking of the curse, which was poverty, unto us. He has given us prosperity through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is what He's given. I believe if we look into the scripture and you're truly honest with yourself, you will see that according to His divine power is given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And this is through, and this manifests through knowing what God knows. And the more you know what God knows about your finances, the more grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. If you by your giving want to receive peace, you'll have peace when you give. But if you have got if you've got peace by what Jesus has given, or by the knowledge of God, you'll always have peace if you've given or not. And you always always receive if you've given or not, because it flows out of the gift Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's just quickly look at, and this will just bless you. It's the last scripture I'm going to just read on righteousness and giving. We will still talk about that. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 5. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what he did here is he says that being justified by faith, we have peace. We've got peace in every area of our life because we've been justified by believing. How will you have justification, peace in your finances, if it's not based on faith? Anything else but believing on Jesus to give you peace for financial prosperity is not of God and does not give true peace. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, if you stop to give today, will you have peace that God will provide for you? If you don't have peace that God will provide for you, if you stop to give today, your peace is based on what you do. Hallelujah. I want to ask you this. Do you have peace that you will still be saved if you commit a sin today? Of course you've got peace, because He died for my sins. My sins has been paid for. If I today go and break the speed limit or do something wrong, I know I am still justified. I'm still going to go to heaven because my faith is in Jesus. I'm saved by faith. Hallelujah. I'm saved by Jesus, what He's done for me, and I believe it. Therefore, with a heart man believes unto righteousness. I'm righteous because of Jesus. Amen. Not because of what I do. Now, if you can have faith that you will go to heaven because you've done something wrong, why can you not have peace? Just in the same way that you'll go to heaven when you do something wrong, why can't you have peace in a simple way? If I don't give, I can still have peace that God will provide for me. And I do give because I've got peace that God will always provide for me. Let me say that again. Why can't you have peace in what Jesus Christ has done, that if you would stop to give today, that you will still have tomorrow? Why can't you rest in what He's done for you by His grace that has enriched us, as I've quoted 50 times already? Hallelujah. Let's rest in Him. Let's rest. Let's have peace according to Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. Hallelujah. We have peace because we are justified by faith. Verse 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace. The Bible says you know the grace of God, therefore you've been enriched financially. By faith we've got access into the grace to prosper financially. Not by giving. So many times we think by giving we've got access into grace. No, by faith. Now faith, the deeds of your faith might be giving. The deed of your faith might be going and buying something. Let's forget about giving for a moment. I'm still going to, in the next session, the two sessions after that, speak about giving and how we're supposed to give. But know this. Don't let the peace for financial prosperity rest in sowing and reaping. We've clearly seen in the scripture that in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6 and 7 that the whole sowing and reaping thing speaks about giving to the flesh, giving your life to the law, or giving your life to faith righteousness. Hallelujah. It also says that we should give as Christians. I'm not against giving. But why do we have peace when it comes to financial prosperity in what we give and not in what He's given? When it comes to peace for salvation, we've got peace in what He's given, not in what we've given. But why can't we pull that thing through right to finances as well? Now let's pull it through. Let's get into the grace of God, because God's grace is God's ability. If we by faith can have access into the grace which prospers us financially, we've got access into God's power that prospers us. And what we do by giving is, in the measure we give, we allow God to work into our lives, and we just, how can I say it? We restrict God's working in our lives financially by the measure we give. Let's take Jesus as the measure and have the full thing. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I'm so blessed by this. This is giving me peace. I want you to listen to the next three sessions because we're going to speak about a little bit more about the sowing and reaping thing, where it says, he that spares sowingly will reap, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, what that means. So, thank you for joining me, and join me in the next broadcast. God loves you and God bless you.